You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Happy Timberwolves game day. The Timberwolves are in LA to take on the Clippers this evening, hoping for a much better result than Sunday when they were blown out of the water by the LA Lakers. Today on the show, I want to preview that game. Before we do that, though, I want to talk about the extensions, or I guess the options the Wolves picked up on for Josh Okogie and Jarrett Culver, an expected decision, but still want to cover that. And then also talk about some of the power rankings that are released around the internet. Of course, after the first week, basically every site releases a power rankings where they compare teams preseason to how they played in their first three games or so. So I want to take a quick spin around the power rankings and see where the Wolves are there and give some commentary on what some of those different sites thought. So before we get into all that, though, as always, a quick reminder that you can subscribe to the show anywhere that you get your podcasts: iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts. You can also follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. All right. Let's start with the options that the Wolves picked up on Josh Okogie and Jarrett Culver. They're the third and fourth year options, respectively. So, of course, that's for next season. So Okogie's fourth year option is worth just a little over $4 million. Culver's third year option is $6.4 million. He's making $6.1 million this year. This is, of course, to be expected. The vast majority of these options get picked up around the league. The deadline's today, so we don't yet know if there's any surprises out there. There's a handful of guys who, as of yesterday, hadn't had them picked up that, you know, it's fair to assume. The Wizards had a few guys, Rui Hachimura as well as Mo Wagner, both hadn't had their options picked up, but that's going to happen. Matisse Thybulle, obviously, with the Sixers, he's going to get his option picked up. So there's a few of those that are still out there. And if there's anything surprising, we'll cover it on Wednesday's show. But of course, the Wolves picked up the options on both Okogie and Culver. Even if Culver hadn't looked good in the first three games, which he has, the Wolves are always going to pick that up. So it's not really all that newsworthy. Additionally, though, Josh Okogie, talk about a range of emotions on a couple of key Timberwolves players this year. We talked on Monday's show about the Towns saga on Sunday. It went from, man, this is a broken wrist, he's out for months, to, you know, he re-injured his broken wrist, to maybe it's just a sprain and he might even play Sunday night, to somewhere in between, which is a dislocated wrist and he's, you know, he's week to week. And now we're getting the same thing with Josh Okogie. When he got hurt in Sunday's game, frankly, I said this on yesterday's show, I thought it was like an ACL, or, you know, he went down kind of in a heap, didn't move. They didn't even show. I was watching, I mean, where I am, I could only watch the NBA TV broadcast, which had the Lakers feed, and they didn't even like follow him back to the locker room. It went to commercial, came back, and he was gone. There was never an update. The assumption was this is terrible. Then the Wolves give an update in the second half that he's cramping and he's out for the game, but it was simply cramps. So you go from worst case to, oh man, he's going to play Tuesday. And now the Timberwolves announced that he's listed as doubtful for Tuesday night's game with a left quad strain, which obviously is the sort of thing that could be a nagging injury. It was last year, I believe, at the beginning of the season, Okogie had a hamstring issue that cost him a couple of games. And then ultimately, I guess it didn't crop back up, at least not on the injury report, for the rest of the season. And you know, Okogie hasn't exactly been injury prone. He's had small stuff each of his first 2 years in the league. So hopefully this is something where maybe he misses Tuesday's game and he's able to come back. The Wolves don't play again until Friday against Washington. This is one of those things where, like, I mean, frankly, are the Wolves going to beat the Clippers on Tuesday without Karl-Anthony Towns? It's pretty unlikely. Even if Kawhi Leonard doesn't play for the Clippers, do you just rest Okogie, give him 5 days off? He comes back Friday. You don't want to turn the strain into a pull or something crazy, something worse, by playing through it in a game that they're unlikely to win anyway. So that's something that should factor in. Then again, Jalen Noel's still out. He's listed as out with his calf issue, so he hasn't played yet this year, and he's in the regular season. He looked great in preseason. He would have been a pretty good fill-in for Okogie, certainly improving the team offensively had he been available. And the Wolves' two-way guys this year are both point guards, Jordan McLaughlin and Ashton Haggins. And so I would assume McLaughlin gets some run in Okogie's absence. Perhaps we see, I mean, Okogie's been playing a lot of four. We might see some more of either Jared Vanderbilt or Jaden McDaniels because of Okogie's injury. Both those guys played fairly well in different ways. McDaniels more offensively, Vanderbilt on the glass and defensively played well. We're about the only Wolves that played well on Sunday's loss to the Lakers. could those guys see more run if Okogie's out on Tuesday, which seems likely. So that's something to keep an eye on ahead of tonight's game. Obviously bad news on Okogie, but again, if he sits out, hopefully he's back by the weekend. The Wolves have games Friday and Sunday later on this week. No need to push things too much. All right, I want to move right into a preview of tonight's game against the Clippers and do that here from the middle part of the show before moving on to the power rankings and kind of taking a spin around the internets to see where the Wolves rank on a variety of different sites according to the quote-unquote experts and the analysts out there. So tonight against the Clippers, the injury report basically, I mean, the Wolves have Towns is out, Noel's out. There's a chance that Okogie plays, but it seems unlikely. As of right now, as of recording this, Kawhi Leonard is listed as questionable for the game. So unclear if he's going to play through his face. I mean, he had, what, 7 stitches or something after he got hit in the mouth in the Denver game. He missed the Dallas game, which, of course, led analysts, mostly Kendrick Perkins at ESPN, talking about Kawhi Leonard's the best player in the NBA because the Clippers beat a pair of playoff teams in the Lakers and the Nuggets in their first 2 games with Kawhi and then got beat by 51 to the Dallas Mavericks without Kawhi. So who knows? I mean, I guess without Kawhi Leonard, the Wolves have a fighting shot, even without Towns and Okogie on Tuesday night. Remember, the Wolves did defeat the Clippers last year in a game that Towns played in. It was the only game after the trade deadline that Towns played in. I'm sorry, one of 2 games after the trade deadline that Towns played in, but D'Angelo Russell did not play in. And now it's flipped. The Wolves have D'Angelo Russell. They don't have Karl Anthony Towns on Tuesday. So obviously a different animal. The Clippers are a different team, different coach, all that. So I want to get into that next. I want to talk about their roster, what they've done so far this year and how these teams match up, what we might see from the Wolves in terms of adjustments with Towns and Okogie presumably out, and the Clippers, you know, with one of the deeper rosters in the league. So I want to talk about that next. First, though, let's talk about betonline.ag. The NBA season is obviously underway. NFL has just 1 regular season week left with playoffs taking shape, and college football is well into bowl season already with a bunch of big bowls later on this week. There's only one place that has you covered when it comes to betting, and only one place that we here at Locked On trust. That's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. There are a full slate of NFL games this weekend. New Year's Day bowl games, the start of the college football playoffs upcoming, tons of stuff going on. And you can still get in some bets, futures bets for the NBA, of course. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON at betonline.ag to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. You can visit our good friends and exclusive partner at betonline_AG on Twitter to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Again, that's a free account with promo code LOCKEDON for your sign-up bonus at betonline.ag. All right, we just talked about betonline.ag. So if you're getting into sports betting for the first time or if you're a veteran, betting on the NBA, NFL, college football does not have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the brand new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks and quick hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts. All right, previewing Wolves Clippers. So quickly, what the Clippers have done so far this year, they beat the Lakers by 7 on NBA's opening night last Wednesday. That was the pre-Christmas, big national TV event, and they looked really good. And then they came out and beat the Nuggets over the weekend by 13 in another game that, I mean, the Lakers game, the Clippers were up pretty big in the first half and the Clippers kind of held the Nuggets at arm's length. Kawhi got injured late in that game and didn't play in Sunday's debacle against the Mavs, where they were down by an NBA record 50 points at halftime. It was 77-27 at halftime, which is just insane. I got a notification. I wasn't watching the game, got a notification on my phone and I was like, that's a typo. And then I turned to it on the TV and I saw that it wasn't a typo. And then I got like 3 more notifications from various apps about the biggest deficit in NBA history at halftime. So tuned in for a little bit of the second half for Gophers fans, for Minnesota basketball fans, a couple of former Gophers get some clock in Amir Coffey and Daniel Uturu. And, to see how with it the Clippers could be in the second half. They ended up being a -1 for the second half and losing by 51. So that game, you can't really glean anything from it other than, I guess, as Kendrick Perkins did on ESPN, that means Kawhi's the best player in the league. Obviously, that makes a huge difference. But there's a lot of fluke that comes along with that. Also, Dallas was 0-2 at the time, and everybody knew Dallas was going to be a good team this year. So I mean, not much to take from that game. So for me, looking at what the Clippers have done this year, looking at the first two games, even if Kawhi is not available, that's the team. Even sans Kawhi, they're much more the team that's beating the Nuggets and Lakers in fairly convincing fashion than the team that's getting completely blown out by teams like the Dallas Mavericks. On opening night, I mean, the Lakers looked really, really good. Paul George was kind of the driving factor. He was ultra efficient. Kawhi Leonard was good in that game. The Clippers also, they have Serge Ibaka now in their starting lineup, and just their depth is incredible. Really kind of more of the same against Denver. A bit more of a balanced attack in that game with both Kawhi and Paul George doing some damage. And then again, the game against the Mavs was over pretty much immediately. So there's not a whole lot to take from that. In terms of the Clippers' style of play, last season they were one of the league's faster teams, and they played fast. They shot a lot of threes, and they were just kind of solid on both ends of the floor. So far this year, the data is obviously, it's a painfully small sample size, but so far they're playing at the league's slowest pace, which is a little surprising. And I mean, you can go back and look at Ty Lue's teams in Cleveland and kind of compare it to that, I guess. But they're playing slow. They haven't been very good defensively. Again, the Dallas game really skews that, and they've played three really good teams. Probably the other three best teams in the West, right? I mean, you're probably looking at both LA teams, Dallas and Denver, as the best four teams in the West, and they've played the other three already, and they're 2-1. So yeah, they lost by 50 in an ugly fashion Sunday. But I mean, the question mark with this team isn't talent, obviously. The question is, how are they going to gel together? How's the team going to receive? The way that last year finished, that was kind of the prevailing theme after even at halftime of Sunday's loss was, man, this team can't get over how they got beat in the playoffs last year. I mean, the coach is gone. A lot of the roster has turned over outside of the two stars. A fair amount of the rotation, right? I mean, Nicholas Batum's new, Kennard's new, Patrick Patterson, some of these guys that are getting rotation minutes, and not just the fringes of the rotation, but guys that are significant pieces of this team are different. And I don't know that you can hang the end of last season or blame the end of last season for the no-show on Sunday. So if we can establish that talent isn't the problem, and I'll talk about the roster depth here in a minute, because you can argue it's the deepest roster in the entire NBA, then it's going to have to be some combination of coaching and chemistry issues, because while there is some turnover, I mean, Ty Lue was on the bench last year. He's the lead assistant for Doc Rivers, and Kawhi Leonard and Paul George were there last year, and Lou Williams was there last year, and Ivica Zubac was there last year. And if there were chemistry issues, if there were locker room type issues, then there's nothing to say that those have gone away. The other thing is that they've been really bad defensively so far this year. And I know that they've played really good offenses, and I mentioned that a minute ago, but they had serious defensive lapses last year. I mean, remember the game that the Wolves beat the Clippers? That was coming off of a 13 game losing streak. The Wolves scored 142 points. They did have Towns, but they still scored 142 points in a regulation game against the Clippers, who were one of the league's best teams last year. So, this is a team that's capable of those games like Sunday against the Mavs. It seems unlikely they'll have two in a row, especially if Kawhi Leonard were to play in this game. But there's some of those kind of intangible type things that we don't know yet about the Clippers. In terms of their rotation and their roster, it is just impossibly deep. The Clippers brought in, they basically replaced Landry Shamet with Luke Kennard. And Luke Kennard is a better player. I think they upgraded there. I think Kennard's really good. He's going to come off the bench for them, but he started in Kawhi's place on Sunday, so he'll probably do the same on Tuesday. And then outside of Paul George and Patrick Beverley, who are probably the next best players on this team, you know, Ivica Zubac is the primary guy off the bench, the big man off the bench, with Montrezl Harrell going over to the Lakers in the offseason. Serge Ibaka and Nicholas Batum are your other veterans that are in the starting lineup. And then you've got Reggie Jackson off the bench, Lou Williams still off the bench. They go 8 or 9 deep before you even get to some of the younger pieces, whether that be Terrence Mann, Amir Coffey's a two-way player that will see minutes, I think, basically at the end of the rotation on a nightly basis for this team. And it's just a really, really deep roster. Certainly one that rivals the Mavs. I would say it's deeper than the Lakers. And that's going to be a really positive thing for them over the course of the year, especially with as much load management as they did last year with Kawhi Leonard. I would expect something similar this year, especially in a weird season with just a weird schedule. And you know, these weird home and homes and probably more back-to-backs, cramming more games in 72 games, travel being a little bit different. It wouldn't shock me if they load managed Kawhi just as much this year as they did last year. So in terms of the matchup against the Wolves, look for Minnesota to try and speed the game up as they have in every game so far. I mean, it's what they did to the Jazz and it worked. So the Timberwolves are going to try and get out in transition and score without Okogie and without Towns. That's going to be really hard to do. Okogie is the Timberwolves' most dangerous player in transition in terms of getting ahead of steam, finishing through contact. He's also one of their better defenders, obviously, somebody who can get steals and initiate the break. So they're going to be relying on Ricky Rubio, Malik Beasley to do those things. With no Towns, Naz Reid struggled mightily defensively on Sunday. So will the Timberwolves look to maybe play Vanderbilt at the five some, maybe put Ed Davis there? I think Ed Davis will see more minutes. He's obviously not an athletic guy that's going to get out and run at this point in his career, but he's going to secure defensive rebounds and ignite the break. That's something Vanderbilt can do, and Vanderbilt can handle the ball a little bit and create a little bit as well. And this feels like the kind of game where you get, I mean, he guarded LeBron James for a time in the second quarter of the game against the Lakers. Do you get Vanderbilt on the court if Kawhi plays? Does he guard Kawhi Leonard? I don't think he's going to be able to stick with Paul George necessarily, but Vanderbilt is the kind of guy who they might try on Kawhi Leonard. They might try as somebody to bring that defensive edge to the game. But the Wolves are going to have to try and speed the game up, and the Clippers are going to try and slow it down. They're going to try and get into their sets and do what they do in the half court offense. And they can beat you in multiple ways, which is another reason why they're so good. I mean, they can play fast. Paul George can obviously still play fast. Luke Kennard can play fast. Patrick Beverley is great in transition. But they can slow it down. They can play the half court. They can mid-range you to death with Serge Ibaka and Paul George. And if Kawhi's healthy, Batum can still hit from outside. So they can play in a number of different playing styles. And I would expect the Wolves to just do everything they can to try and ignite the break. Off the glass, you know, grab the ball off the glass, ignite the break. Now, if Naz Reid starts and plays heavy minutes at the five, two things he's not great at: defense and rebounding. And those are the things the Wolves need to get out in transition. And while he adds that floor stretching element that neither Ed Davis or Jared Vanderbilt can do, I don't think Naz has played well enough so far this year to just hand him these minutes. I think that the Wolves need to explore playing small against this team. In contrast to the Lakers, to the Jazz, and even to the Pistons, The Clippers don't really play, or they don't start a more traditional center. Obviously, Ivaka Zubac has that size coming off the bench, but Serge Ibaka is effectively their starting center. And they're playing with a lot of minutes with Nicholas Batum at the four. Patrick Patterson coming off the bench is far more of a stretch big than he is anybody that's going to play defense or rebound. And he's been down the last couple of years. And, you know, Zubac's minutes, maybe that's when Ed Davis is on the court, but otherwise you can get away with. And frankly, I'd want somebody more mobile like a Jared Vanderbilt. Or, I mean, probably not Jaden McDaniels, but maybe you give him a shot, especially if this game gets out of hand early. But it doesn't feel like a Naz Reid game, and it doesn't feel like a straight up Ed Davis game either. I think you want somebody that can bring a little bit of everything, and your best chance there is going to be Jared Vanderbilt and some of these more mobile bigs. It hurts not having Josh Okogie in a game like this because he's a perfect fit to check the guys that the Clippers are running out at the four for the most part. So expect the Wolves to play smaller for chunks of this game. Ed Davis and Naz Reid to play when Zubac is on the court, and the Wolves to maybe get a little bit more creative and try and find something without Towns, without Okogie. Why not? See what you have in some of these other guys, and maybe you can pull a rabbit out of your hat in this one. But certainly it's a game that I would expect the Clippers to have a pretty clear edge in. Our friends at betonline.ag have them as 10-point favorites in this game, which is easily the widest spread of any game tonight, without Towns and even not knowing Kawhi Leonard's status for the game. So that's really not a surprise at all. Of course, we'll talk all things about this game, takeaways from the game, studs and duds on Wednesday's show. Next, what I'd like to do is talk about power rankings, where everybody around the league, around the various NBA sites has the Timberwolves ranked at this point in the season. But first, let's talk about our great friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is legitimately the best tasting protein bar of all time. I'm confident saying that. It tastes exactly like a candy bar. Believe me when I say this, it is delicious. Built Bars are protein bars that are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. They have 6 brand new flavors. In fact, there's 18 amazing flavors in all. I've tried almost all of them. The 6 new ones are caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. They're perfect if you're health conscious and if you're trying to lose weight, maybe just maintain your weight while still having a delicious treat. Built Bar is that delicious treat. They're all low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high in fiber. They're perfect if you're on a keto diet. Take my word for it, they do taste like a candy bar. You can get a free cooler with your purchase right now too, but only while supplies last. Go to builtbar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. LockedOnWolves.com. East meets West in Locked On NBA Tuesdays. Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Mercury News and host of Locked On Warriors, and David Ramil, host of Locked On Heat, tackle the biggest NBA stories of the day coast to coast. Subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's talk power rankings. The Timberwolves are, there's quite the, I guess, consensus about where the Wolves rank after the first week. It was kind of all over the map preseason. The Wolves are anywhere from the low 20s to the high 20s, anywhere from like 21, 22-ish down to like 28, I think, was the lowest I saw the Wolves ranked in preseason power rankings, which is crazy. Obviously, a healthy Timberwolves team was not going to be the third worst team in the league. That's just insane. Now, after 1 week, and the Wolves went 2-1, I think without the Towns injury, and if the Wolves had put up a fight against Lakers on Sunday, you're looking at a consensus like 15th or 16th best team in the league. Instead, the consensus was in the low 20s. There was one outlier, and I don't want to pick on him too much because I think the way that he went about this was clearly differently. But CBS Sports, Colin Ward Henninger had the Wolves at number 13 in the league. And he explained his methodology a little bit. This is over at CBS Sports. He said, this is a direct reading directly from the site. He said, quote, "It's a difficult predicament for the first NBA power rankings of the season because you want to reward the teams that that have yet to lose. But you also know that some of the teams they're ahead of are better. For instance, I mean, this is me adding this. Cleveland is 3-0. Everybody knows Cleveland is not one of the league's best two or three teams." And then Colin says, "Rather than just put the teams in order by their records, because what fun would that be? We tried to take into account the teams that they beat and or lost to and the nature of their performances." End quote. So he has the Wolves number 13 based on their 2-1 start, ahead of the Philadelphia 76ers, Utah Jazz, Dallas Mavericks, Boston Celtics, Milwaukee Bucks, Portland Trailblazers. Clearly the Wolves, I mean, there's no way, no matter how you slice it, nobody thinks the Wolves are better than Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston, Milwaukee. Yeah, they beat Utah. You can make the argument that they're going to challenge Utah this year for first or second, probably, you know, second or third in the Northwest behind Denver. Unlikely, but you could make that argument. There's no way you can rank the Wolves 13th. So clearly he's weighting the 2-1 start far heavier than the outlook related to Towns' injury and the way that they lost to the Lakers. Everywhere else, so I looked at five other sites, and that included The Athletic, Zach Harper at The Athletic, Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer, ESPN, NBA.com, and Bleacher Report. Every single one of those sites had the Wolves between 19 and 21. No higher than 19, no lower than 21. So you throw out the outlier of CBS Sports, and the Timberwolves are between 19 and 21 in the power rankings. Seems right. About 10 teams below the Wolves. Zach Harper had the Wolves at 19. Kevin O'Connor had the Wolves at number 20. He actually had a little bit more of a breakdown. He had a video clip of Towns and Russell playing defense against the Jazz, which is something we talked about on this show, was that they were actually communicating, trying hard, using their length to their advantage, and, you know, calling out switches, all that stuff, what their coverage was. And it worked against Utah. We didn't get to see that in LA with no Towns and Russell looking like a shell of himself. It was like the Wolves were just in shock on Sunday, finding out that Towns wasn't going to be with them for the next few games. That breakdown was appreciated, that he went a little bit deeper. The other one that I thought does a really good job, and I remember this from past years, John Schumann over at NBA.com does a great job. He actually lists defensive and offensive ratings, overall net rating and pace for each team, as well as a few other things, who they played last week, who they play this week, and gives you a lot of information in one place at NBA.com. He has the Wolves at number 21, up from 24. And he notes that the Wolves, basically in a regular year, he suggests, and this is maybe a little bit crazy, suggests that the Wolves would tank with this sort of a Towns injury in a normal season. But given that they started 2-0 and 10 teams get a shot at the playoffs this year instead of 8, that the Wolves certainly aren't going to tank. Well, obviously they're not going to tank. They're 2-1. They have a relatively soft schedule once you get to mid-January, and Towns should be back hopefully by mid-January. And they still obviously like their roster. They're still going to make a splash, I'm sure, by the trade deadline. So no, the Wolves aren't tanking. And he says that, but I think to suggest that if this was a regular season, they would, after sitting at 2-1 with no Towns for, you know, not months, weeks, maybe at the most, it's kind of a strange thing to say. But overall, I think that his analysis is good. I think the NBA.com rankings and the Ringer rankings are the ones that have the best context to them. ESPN and Bleacher Report both also had the Timberwolves at 21 Bleacher Report was all the way up from 26 from last week, which was the next largest rise for the Timberwolves of any of the lists. The CBS Sports one that had the Wolves at 13, they were actually down at 26 last week, which too low to start the season, and 13 is far too high after 1 week. Clearly, the rankings in the 19 to 21 range are pretty on par with where I think the Wolves should be in this sort of an exercise. It just kind of also depends on how you're ranking them. If you're just ranking them based on record, then sure, the Wolves are somewhere in that top half of the league. But clearly, all things considered, they should be seen as a fringe playoff team still, even without Towns, until proven otherwise. If they go 0-3 this week and don't look good, then you could start talking about them as a bottom 6 or 7 team without Towns. But to rank them any lower than 21 right now, I think would also be a difficult thing to do. All right. On Wednesday, we are going to talk takeaways from Tuesday night's game as much as we can take from hopefully what will hopefully be a competitive game between the Wolves and Clippers. As of now, Kawhi is questionable. The Wolves will be without Karl Anthony Towns, probably without Josh Okogie, and certainly without Jalen Noel also. So we'll see how that shakes out. We'll talk about it on Wednesday. And then as we get later into the week, the Wolves play on New Year's Day against Washington. That's a very winnable game for the Minnesota Timberwolves, even without Karl Anthony Towns. So plenty to talk about there as well. And then we'll talk about any rumblings out there about the trade market. Would the Wolves be more or less likely to make a splash with no Towns early in the season? Are they still on the hunt for power forward? Are they pushing pause to see what they have in Towns' absence? Or does their perhaps even desperation to stay in the playoff hunt make Gerson Rosas explore making a big splash earlier rather than later? It's obviously hard to trade in the early stages of the season because everybody wants to see what they have. But could the Wolves try and push to make a deal with a team that hasn't extended somebody like Atlanta and John Collins? Of course, they're off to a really good start too. So at any rate, that'll be a conversation for later this week. There's a lot to explore there. What could be on tap next for the Timberwolves? Otherwise, that's all we have for you here today at Locked On Wolves. Thanks for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast. Of course, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. You can subscribe to the show anywhere you get your podcast. That's iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. I will be live tweeting the game this evening from Locked On T-Wolves from the Twitter account. So be sure to follow over there. And if you're so inclined, help us with a review on Apple, on iTunes. That definitely helps us get in front of more eyes and ears, and it's greatly appreciated. That's all we have for you today. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.